This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Carew's Control. And as usual, I've got my friends on the line with me. First up, I have Ali Johan. Hi, Ali. How are you doing?
Good evening. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you very much. And then, of course, as usual, it's Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello and good evening, everybody. And I got some good news for you guys.
Go on, then.
We have just expanded our reach from 3 million listeners to about 10 million listeners.
Oh, have we now? And how did we manage to do that?
Yes, because I met some people a couple of weeks ago from overseas, and I gave them the podcast address, and they said they will share with all their people, all their population, no problem.
And did you do that whilst using this voice that you have right now?
Yes, this is my new voice, because I'm trying to moonlight as a romantic singer like Barry White. You know?
Well, there's no wonder they've signed up to listen to the podcast. And yes, hello sir. To our new listeners, wherever you are. Right then, as usual, we've got news and some car launches, and then we've got some other stuff. We've got a bit of a review later on. Ali, do you want to get the ball rolling?
Yes. Local launches first. This week, the DSF.my team spotted the new Kia Sorento driving out of the production plant. This is the fourth generation Sorento. It's going to be locally assembled SUV. It'll be fitted with a 2.2-litre diesel engine, which they have used before. We can also find on the Kia Carnival.
And, you know, when we spotted this SUV, we were actually quite shocked because we knew that production was going ahead at its plant in Juru, you know, for local assembly. We knew that the launch was supposed to be before Christmas, but we were not sure whether the vehicle was already done and ready. And in fact, they've got a few units already produced. They're stockpiling them so that when they launch it, there will be enough units to go out to lucky customers.
Were you camping outside their factory, were you?
Yes, and it was raining, and that's why I got a flu, and then, you know, I got this voice.
Oh, no.
See, the things I do for you guys, you know?
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Daniel. We appreciate it, because this car, actually, Richard, I've been waiting for this car to release, and the Sorento, it sold more than 3 million units worldwide already since it was launched in 2002. And in that time, you know, Europe has accounted for about 300,000 units, and Malaysians have also bought their fair share in the last two decades. But diesel engine 2.2, also the same with the Carnival, Daniel. How are we expecting this car to perform?
Yes, exactly same as the Carnival. And you know, the Carnival is huge. Now, this vehicle, from our quick view on it, it's no small vehicle. The Sorento has grown. The previous Sorento was already a large vehicle. It was almost the size of a BMW X5. Now, this is even bigger, longer. So I think the diesel engine is more than adequate to move it along, because that's a powerful diesel engine. It's got 202 PS. Now, 202 PS for a petrol car is not much, but for a diesel car, it's a lot. And then you got 440 Newton meters of torque, which is a lot of mid-range grunt. So I think, you know, especially now our diesel fuel is of good quality. There's a lot of interest in this vehicle. Now, the funny thing is, when I posted it on DSF, I didn't think there'll be a lot of people talking about it or sharing. But it's gone, I wouldn't say viral, but a lot of people have shared it. A lot of people have talked about it. I've got a lot of response from people asking me questions like, how much will it be? You know, is the size really bigger? Why do the lights look like that? You know, well, they have to change the lights. They can't keep the same old lights, you know? And the overall shape has changed. And, you know, a little kink at the rear, three-quarter glass is a nice design feature. All this is brand new for Kia, and Kia is making a big splash here. Get ready for more vehicles from Kia next year. Now, there were also some people saying, brother, why diesel, you know? Because, you know, Europe is shying away from diesel and everything else. Now, diesel has got its problems. Yes, we understand that, you know. But if the particle filter works well, you don't see a lot of soot coming out even after a few years. But again, I think Kia has got the right diesel engine, because this smart stream diesel engine, when I was driving with the Kia Carnival, you can idle, go to the back, put your nose near the exhaust, not too close, okay? And you don't get that dirty smell, you know?
Huh.
You don't get that sooty, disgusting smell. So, you know, they got it. They got all the soot trapped properly. So if you got a good quality vehicle that can run good quality diesel, I think it can still work in ASEAN nations, because why? Not all of us are going to go into plug-in hybrids and electric vehicles, because it costs too much.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And
that.
Then now you come back to price. Now, the previous Sorento was close to 200,000 ringgit. So don't expect this to be below that. It's going to be either the same or slightly more. The Carnival went up to 230,000, right? And we know the quality, we know the features inside and all that. So I think you're looking at about 220,000. Not very, you know, affordable for average Malaysians. But if you have a BFM salary, I think like Ali, it should be okay.
I'll be waiting because the local assembly, as you mentioned, Sorento is already being built and there will be an unveiling as well as price sharing in the coming weeks, right? So we're going to look out for that. Moving on to Audi. Audi Malaysia confirmed on their Facebook page that their first all-electric e-tron GT will be coming to our country soon.
This is nice.
Mm. Yes. Mm.
This is a good-looking vehicle.
I love how flat and wide and close to the ground it is.
This is a Taycan.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Yes. It's sitting on the same platform as a Taycan because why? Porsche and Audi are partners in the global Volkswagen mm-hmm. group, you know? Mm-hmm. So basically the Audi e-tron is a Taycan in a different guise. Now, I look at this and I say, wow, this, I want this, you know? Yeah. I want this, but I can't afford it. So, you know, I'll just look at the pictures and enjoy it.
That's right.
It looks very
it's
sleek.
Beautiful looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already been launched in Singapore earlier this year, doing very well. They've launched it in other countries, doing also very well. There has been an issue of supply, as always with electric cars. Mm. That is why I think it's been a bit late in coming to Malaysia. It's not that, you know, Audi Malaysia has been sitting on their backside doing nothing. It's just that when you cannot get supply of vehicles, there's no point launching it, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, so I think this car is coming in with enough stock for them to actually excite the market a little bit. The only problem is price. Now, we know the Taycan has got three models, three prices, and the price starts from around 600,000. So if they can get this around the Taycan price, yes, the Porsche badge is more, you know...
Go on, say it.
It's prestigious, lah. It's prestigious. You know, it's a sports car brand.
Yes.
Audi... is no less, but you know, somehow or other, the Audi badge, it has to reflect a slightly lower price, lah, you know? Mm-hmm.
I look at the comment section of that post and people are saying that this is going to be the second generation e-tron GT, but it doesn't look too different from the first gen.
Just some tweaks, lah, minor tweaks. You know mm-hmm. why? Because every time when they come out with a new car, there will always be, you know, some people will come and say, oh, why the light like this? Why the bumper like this? They say, okay, lah, we'll tweak it a little bit, lah, since we already produced a few thousand units. You know, why not, you know? Or maybe they said, okay, maybe we feel that, you know, for new market, let's tweak it a little bit.
Price, though?
Okay.
Price, well, I'm estimating 490,000 starting to about 680,000, which is not affordable for someone on a BFM salary.
Yeah, we can just look at the photos again, lah.
Yes.
Again and again.
Looking at the photos, yeah.
You know, speaking of Audi and Porsche being under the same roof, Porsche just launched the Porsche 718 Cayman GT4 RS. This is at the recent opening of the Porsche Center in Johor Bahru. Sime Darby Auto Performance launched this car, which is considered the most performance-oriented version in the 718 family.
I mean, this is basically a race car. There's no other way to explain it. It's like the 911 GT3 also. It's a pure race car. So this RS, very special, very limited, bags of performance, but it's not going to be a car you can drive daily unless you're a real enthusiast. It's not a car you want to be driving in traffic jam, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you can because Porsches are built like that. Anyway, this car launched in Malaysia together with the flagship showroom in Danga Bay. Now this showroom is brand new and it's also a Porsche classic car restoration center.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So what I think they're doing is, I mean, this I'm guessing because I've not interviewed them yet. I think what they're doing is they're seeing a lot of Singaporean Porsche owners who need to restore their cars. And why not drive it across to Danga Bay and get it restored?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So, and then this car, when it was launched, the asking price, 1.55 million with taxes paid.
Wow.
Now, that's a big wow. Yes, I know. But think about it. 0 to 100 acceleration, 3.4 seconds. That is super duper car performance, right? Mm-hmm. Top speed, 315. That's nothing great. But it is a very, very special car. It's lightweight. It's just got, you know, 1,400 kilograms with the fuel tank. It's a car for a very special person, very special driver. Like, you know, you don't no one will just walk in and be, you know, like, oh, I'm inspired to buy this car. No, this is something you really want, you really need, and you really drive, you know, because if you're just going to buy it and park it in a garage and look at it, it's a real waste.
Mm. It seems like it fit for the tracks only.
Yeah, it's a race-ready car. You can take it and go racing. You can take it to the Sepang track and start racing straight away. The only thing you might have to do is change the tyres.
Hmm. So if you're interested, you can visit the nearest Porsche centre. There's one in Danga Bay in Johor Bahru as well, to know more about the 718 Cayman GT4 RS. Or you can visit dealer.porsche.com.my. Okay, on to some EV news, because we have EV news every week, right?
We got to.
Yeah, and Daniel's always said on the show that until we have a battery production plant in Malaysia, we're going to be lagging behind in terms of EV adoption because prices won't be cheap, right? Well, right. Guess what? Bernama reported that Chinese company EVE Energy is set to open up a lithium battery base in Malaysia. With this, the shift to electrification just got significantly faster in the country.
Oh-ho.
Who are these guys, Daniel?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I just read the news and I was so excited. I said, I got to share this news because I have no idea who they are. I'm just waiting for more information to come. If you go and Google EVE Energy, there's some information on them, but not a lot. But I think this is the right direction. I think, you know, MITI and MOF and MIDA and all have gone and done their homework. Yes, we don't have the raw materials here for all the companies to come in, right?
Mm.
They need the raw materials. No point setting up a base if we don't have raw materials. But the raw materials are available in Indonesia and then some in Thailand. That's why Indonesia is getting a lot of investment now. At the same time, when you do something like this, you're also telling EV car manufacturers like Great Wall, Chery, BYD, these are all the big Chinese-based electric car companies. Hey, come over here, set up shop. That is why tomorrow morning is the launch of the BYD electric car and brand in Malaysia.
So it's all falling in line. And
it's falling a bit late, but it's falling in line.
This battery production base is being undertaken by, as we mentioned, the Chinese company's Malaysian subsidiary, EVE Energy. They are looking at some spots in Perak to build the plant.
Yes. And then the other good news is also, I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but you know, Tesla set up in Singapore last year and, you know, Malaysians were upset why we didn't get, you know. And then after that, Mr. Musk was in Indonesia talking to the Indonesian Prime Minister, the President, and saying, let's do something together. Let's build, you know, battery facility, battery storage, and also, you know, start selling Teslas. And then Malaysians were upset again. You know, why are we being ignored? And then last week, news came out that Tesla was setting up in Thailand, you know. And Malaysians were upset again. And then yesterday, the official website in Thailand went up with cars for sale, with the prices very, very attractive. Now, all this shows that you need to have A, population. They have larger population than us. B, you got to have some kind of workforce to be able to build and do all these things. C, you got to have enough land to mine all this stuff, right? Now, if you have all those little components put together and a good policy, especially your national economic policy and your national automotive policy, all in line with this, of course the companies will go. Now, Malaysia has some of these issues that we can't really control, like labor. We don't have very good labor. We're always short of labor. Restaurants are short of labor. BFM is short of labor. You know, I'm short of labor. Car factory is short of labor. If you're going to import your labor in, then it's going to be a problem, right?
Yeah.
So I think the issue with all this, I want our listeners to understand that Malaysia is not sitting down and doing nothing about this. They are doing, but there's only so much you can do when you have certain components that are not working as well as with countries like Indonesia and Thailand, where they have a huge population, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Daniel, I heard you mention the Chinese companies with the opening of the battery plant here.
Yes.
What about Proton and Produa? Would they benefit from this?
Well, from what I understand, Perdua is still working on a electric car program with its partner Daihatsu.
Right.
That will take some time. It's not going to come overnight. Okay, and if that comes, you see, don't expect a Perdua EV to be like the price of a Alza or a, you know, a Rush or whatever, because you know they don't have that battery cost. You know, look at Smart. Smart is under Geely. Proton is going to be bringing Smart in under their new venture. That car is going to cost almost 190,000 ringgit.
So much money.
Yeah. The Aura Good Cat recently launched, 140,000 ringgit. It's now the cheapest EV. The Kona, 160,000. This BYD coming in is going to be about 150, 160,000. You know, and these are not expensive EVs. These are actually middle-class EVs. If you take the prices from Australia, that's the best benchmark I can give you. If you go to the Australian websites and see, the prices there are, you know, when you convert, it's almost the same as Malaysia because our currency is not so good.
Right.
We've said this before. As long as our currency is not favorable, you see, like the Australian currency to the US dollar, it's 1 point something. So they can buy an EV like a Tesla. Not so expensive. But when we buy with, you know, our currency is now 4 point plus, you know, 4.3, 4.4. Immediately it goes up. Because EVs at the moment have no tax in Malaysia and still it's not very affordable for middle class Malaysians. And, you know, in this current economy, don't expect people to be rushing out to buy an EV.
With that being said, and before we move on, I'm going to mention politics very briefly.
Yes.
Do you see more incentives now, or do you feel as though focus might shift towards us feeling as though stuff is happening in the EV market here in Malaysia with this switch in government?
I don't see how they can give more incentives. It's already tax-free. I give you an example, like in Norway and Iceland, I think it was Iceland, they said, okay, when you buy an EV, it's already tax-free, plus you get an income tax rebate for driving a clean energy vehicle.
Right.
Now, if they do that in Malaysia, I still see only the rich people benefiting. And if you tell them tax incentive, yeah, I'm just going to enjoy more disposable income. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, like I told you, I think some weeks ago, we talked about how I met someone who bought 3 electric cars because it's tax-free. It's almost the same price as buying one full petrol-powered luxury car, you know? So they're not helping the economy at all. Because why? They're not paying tax on the electric car. They're driving around, charging the car at, you know, some free ports, some subsidized ports. And also, even if they pay the full TNB bill, the TNB bill is subsidized. So if it's a product for the rich, they should be taxed to drive it.
Fair enough.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's me done. That's me done. Shall we take a break?
Yep.
I did say we got a show in 3 parts, but it's in 2 parts today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Silly old me. Ladies and gents, we'll be back after these messages. We do have a car review. It's the Mazda CX-8 Skyactiv-G Turbo. Why can't they think of shorter names? We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome back to Cruise Control. This is a show normally in 3 parts, but today we've got 2 parts. We had some chat about the new Kia Sorento, Audi's all-electric e-tron GT, the Porsche 718 Cayman Grand Tourer, and Malaysia's battery production plan, and a little bit of politics thrown in for good measure. With all of that out of the way, we've got a car review. The Mazda CX-8 Skyactiv-G Turbo. Daniel, take it away.
It's a mouthful, huh?
Just a little bit.
Okay, basically, Mazda CX-8. You've seen it before. You've seen it on the road. It's been around. It's an attractive-looking, nice SUV. 3 rows of seats, but the center row is more like captain seat. So you get, of course, 2 seats in front, 2 seats in the middle, and 3 seats at the back. So the middle row is actually for people like Richard, you know, captains of industry. You know, you got a driver, you just open the door, you sit nicely, you got big armchair, you got center console, everything else lah. And then, you know, at the back, third row, you can put your bodyguard in there lah. You know, it's one of those things lah. But your bodyguard will have to be a slim, fit person like Ali lah. CX-8, family vehicle. That's the fact. It's a family vehicle, okay? I recommended it to quite a few families. Some of them bought it. Some of them decided to go for the CX-5 because they said, I don't really need the third row. Same looks as the CX-5, except it's longer, it's slightly higher. But what happened is, when it was launched only as a 2.5 petrol Skyactiv non-turbocharged engine, and they had a diesel version, right?
Right, yeah.
Sold very well. Prices were good. Everything was going smoothly. No one had any complaints. But as the time progressed, Mazda brought out a 2.5 turbo diesel engine.
Oh.
Now, this turbo diesel engine, they put it nicely in the CX-5 first for Malaysia.
Okay.
So when they introduced the CX-5 with a 2.5 turbo engine, Malaysians were excited.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sky active means saving fuel. You guys understand that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's Mazda speak for I'm going to save fuel, you know, compression ratio, blah, 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 everything. I've reinvented the petrol engine to give you maximum, you know, low emissions and low fuel consumption. Okay?
Mm.
They are not working on the plug-in hybrid and hybrid system at that point, lah, you know?
Mm.
Now, suddenly they come out with a turbocharged engine. So this excites everybody. Hey, now I got turbocharged engine. I can get a Mazda with a turbo engine. I can go faster. And then you ask all these people, last time you bought the car because you want to save fuel. Huh? You're bringing your family along. You want to just drive normal. Most of the time you're in the city anyway. Anyway, you go outstation or so, maximum 110 only you can go. On occasion, you might stretch it to 120. Then you get scared and you pull back to 110, right?
Mm.
But the moment you hear turbo engine, all the horns come out on the head and say, hey, I want to buy a turbocharged car. You know, I don't care. I want speed. I want top speed. And then the next complaint is, my car cannot go up hilltop resort. I've driven these cars, non-turbo, up and down every hilltop resort in Malaysia. You know, no problem. Mm. Even with six people on board. It just means you can't race up. You know. So they want to race up. They want to be fast. They want to be, you know, hearing the turbo whine and all that. Let's give it to them. So Mazda gave it to them in the CX-5. Sales boom.
Mm.
Everybody wanted a CX-5. A lot of people traded in their old CX-5 for this. A lot of people traded in other SUVs for this. Sales were well. So Mazda said, hey, looks like people want speed. They don't want fuel efficiency, right? So they took the same engine and they put it inside the CX-8, which makes actually quite good sense, because why? This is a bigger vehicle. It carries more people. So the added weight, it actually works well. If you're putting aside fuel efficiency. I'm not saying it's not fuel efficient, but you know, anything where it's got a turbocharged engine, and if you're, you know, whacking the accelerator pedal, don't expect to be saving fuel, you know?
Mm.
So we took this car out. First thing we did was, let's put the whole family in it. So six of us, we got in the car, we drove around, went and had dinner, came back. No problem. I didn't find any hilltop resorts because I didn't have the time to do it. And it was raining every single day. Okay. So I just drove it around the city and everything. As a family vehicle, it works perfectly fine. Build quality, fit and finish on the inside is still top class. What surprises me is Mazda is able to deliver this kind of, you know, soft touch padding, leather, tactile knobs and buttons. A very premium feeling interior. The only thing lacking is probably a big center console screen, which I'm not a big fan. I like the small screens. You know, I don't need a big tablet in the center of my dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to do this in a vehicle costing about 200,000 ringgit. That's what surprises me. Now, most people will say, hey, it's a Mazda, it's Japanese. Yes, but you know, why is there a stigma that it's Japanese or it's Korean? It must be way below a European product.
Okay.
My analysis is very simple. Both of them have factories, whether they're European cars or Japanese cars or Korean cars, wherever these three companies are or how many companies. Wherever these countries are, cost of living is almost the same. Labor costs, machining, parts, assembly, power, everything is about the same, right?
Mm. Mm.
Very established economies. But if the Japanese can bring their prices, you know, of a vehicle like this to about 200,000. And then we earlier spoke about the Kia Sorento, which is a direct rival to this, which is going to be about 200,000. Why are the Europeans 100,000 ringgit more? Equivalent vehicles. You see where I'm going, Giacomo?
Yeah.
You know? I'm not trying to knock the British car industry, Richard. Please don't be upset. I'm just saying, you know, If you've got everything, you know, on an equal footing, why is it that there's 100,000 ringgit difference?
Right.
And if you think about it, if you go to a what I call a very level economy in terms of automotive, is North America. Because when you go to North America, people buy cars based on value, not on badge, right?
Mm.
And you'll see Kia is doing really well there. Mazda is doing really well there. And then if you go to Australia, also the same thing. You'll see Mazda doing very well, Toyota doing very well, but the European brands not so well. Because why? They have that premium price. But in these markets, they say, why should I pay much more for a vehicle when the there's an equivalent vehicle, much cheaper, and offering exactly the same thing, same safety features, paint finish, size, power, delivery, traction control, you know, parking sensors, everything else, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. So when I suggest to people sometimes, you know, hey, why don't you go and look at, you know, a Mazda or some Japanese brand or some other Korean brand. They say, oh, but, you know, I want to get this European brand. I said, okay. The base European competitor doesn't even have leather, doesn't even have padded dashboards, doesn't even have some of the features you want, doesn't even have some of the accessories you want, and yet you're willing to pay more. And I can understand why, because in Malaysia, as with most of ASEAN nations, we have a thing called badge branding.
Mm-hmm.
So people, you know, it's like handbags and shoes and watches, you know?
Mm.
You know, if you come in a Seiko watch, you're like, you're okay lah. But if you came in a tag, you're wearing a tag, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and this is something we've been saying forever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. So I look at this car. It's, you know, 2.5 turbo, Skyactiv G, four-wheel drive. Yeah, added that, four-wheel drive. Six-speed automatic, 228 horsepower, 420 newton meters of torque. That's a lot of torque, you know, for a petrol engine. Top speed, 200 kilometers an hour. That is restricted. It actually can go much faster. It's restricted because it's an SUV. 0 to 100 acceleration in 7.7 seconds, which is pretty fast. I'm sure you can tweak it to go faster, but you shouldn't be doing that because, again, it's a family vehicle. So go to a Mazda showroom, have a look at it, and think about it. Now, if you think that this car is nice, big, you know, very, very, it's got everything I want, but I want something slightly larger. Mazda has a CX-9. Do you know that? The CX-9 is bigger than this, but it's fully imported, so it costs almost 100,000 ringgit more. But you have something else you can play with if you want something bigger.
Right, so their line is CX-5 for the compact SUV, the normal family SUV CX-8, and the larger CX-9 lah.
Correct. Actually, it starts from the CX-3. CX-3 is a small, compact crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute, very agile, looks more like a hot hatch. Then you got the CX-5, which is a global bestseller. You know, it still is a global bestseller for Mazda. And then you have the CX-8. And then the big boy, the big kahuna, CX-9, is where you go if you really want something top the line.
I need to Google that right now, the CX-9. Mm. I've never even heard of it.
Yep.
Oh,
actually,
yes.
It looks a lot like the CX-8. It's just bigger, that's all.
Oh, yes. And it's available in that wonderful red color as well.
Soul red.
Is that what they call it?
Yes, they call it soul red.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it's a Mazda hero color.
The third row, Daniel, can you like bring down the chairs completely flat to make space in the boot?
You can't. You can't bring it down flat. You can flip the headrest down and you can move it across almost flat, but you can't make it completely flat.
Functional for a passenger, not so much for cargo then.
Yes. So if you look at some of the pictures I showed, you know, even with the third row seat up, you can still put some luggage in, you know, so you can take your family out and everything else. Now, there's another picture where you can see the seat almost folded flat. Now, you still have that little protrusion outside, you know, because of the wheel arches, you know.
Hmm.
So again, how big an item do you want to carry? And if you're going to be carrying such big items, hire a van. Come on, this is a luxury vehicle, not for carrying barang. You know? And if you want to carry a bicycle, put it on the roof, get a roof rack.
That's true.
You don't want to bring this, you know, the oily chain, the dirty wheels all inside a luxury vehicle. This has got nice leather and all, man.
I've missed you, Daniel. I've missed you, yes. True.
Yes.
You know?
Right. Are we done?
I think we are done. I think people have heard enough of my nonsense.
Never. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for all of our new listeners. What was it, 90 million, you said, Daniel?
Yes.
90 million of you that did tune in from wherever you are to hear Daniel's new voice, which unfortunately he probably won't have on next week's show. But that doesn't mean you have to take off anywhere, because if you missed any part of this show, you can download it wherever you normally listen to it from. We recommend you use a BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. However, we will be back same time, same place next week here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.